Hey everybody, Jeff here, and I am happy to report that Your Move is expanding our TV broadcast to a brand new city. And it's not just any city. It's the city that performs an average of 315 weddings per day. It's the city that shines brighter than any other city on Earth, when seen from outer space. It's the city that never uses dice with rounded corners. It's the city that never sleeps. Figured it out? That's right. Your Move is now airing on NBC after Saturday Night Live in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we could not be more excited. And we have you to thank. Your continued support and financial generosity is helping us reach more people in more cities. So from Andy and everyone on the Your Move team, thank you. Now, we realize this question may seem rhetorical, but do you have friends or family in Las Vegas whose lives would change if they started making better decisions? If so, perhaps you could help them find Your Move, now airing on NBC after SNL. We really do believe that the next 30 minutes will help you make better decisions and live with fewer regrets. So today, we're going to continue with Andy's fifth message in a six-part series, Ask It. Emotions make the obvious less obvious. In this episode, Andy Stanley talks about hearing the voice of wisdom during emotional decisions.
The series title is Ask It, and the subtitle is The Question That Answers Just About Everything, because we really believe this question answers just about everything. And the question is, before we put it on the screen, what's the question? Anybody? Very good. What's the wise thing to do? Let's say all together, what's the... Right, then we looked at this question in sort of a three-dimensional way, and we ask it this way. In light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? All of us have a different past. All of us are in a different stage of life. All of us have different hopes and dreams, and what's right for you or what's wise for you may not be wise for me. This question takes us beyond simple right and wrong. This question takes us beyond what's legal. This question takes us beyond the lowest common denominator. This question takes us to a place where if we're honest with ourselves and if we allow God to take this question and drive it to the deepest part of our lives, it enables us and empowers us, as many of you have already experienced, to really get the full potential out of your life and to reach the full potential that God has for you. Now, all of us have regret. All of us would like to go back to a season of our life or a weekend of our life or a spring break of our life or a previous city in our life or a previous marriage in our life and ask this question, but we didn't get to. But when we look back on those seasons of our lives and when we look back on our greatest regrets, and I thought maybe we could start today by just turning to the person next to you that you don't know and sharing your greatest regrets to kind of get the emotions going, you know? But that would be a silent 2 or 3 minutes. So anyway, when you think about your greatest regrets, which is the last thing you want to think about on a day like today, the truth is when you look back, you ask yourself a question kind of like this. How could I have been so, and this is our word, foolish or unwise? How could I have been so foolish? Or maybe you thought it this way. I should have seen it coming. I should have seen it coming. I just got some groans like, yeah, it's like it's so... Here's the thing about should have seen it coming. This is what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. Just this phrase, should have seen it coming. If you should have seen it coming, chances are there was someone in your life who did see it coming. If you should have seen it coming, in other words, when you look back and you look at the circumstances in which you made that terrible decision, that unwise decision, you got in that relationship, got out of a relationship, you know, spent that money, whatever it was. If you look back and you think, oh, I should have seen it coming, then chances are somebody in your life did see it coming. And either you didn't listen or no one warned you. And the reason they probably didn't warn you is because they didn't think you would what? Listen. You guys are smart. That's exactly right. He said, hey, why don't you go? And I think you should tell her. I'm not going to tell her. Well, you tell her. I'm not going to tell her. Why? Well, she won't listen. Yeah, let's still say anything. What if we all go together? What if we have like an intervention and we'll all show up at his house, you know, and we'll stand outside and say, you can't marry her. Or, you know, don't take that job. And it's like, he won't listen. But I guarantee you in the big areas of your life where you look back and you think, why didn't I see it coming? Why didn't I see it coming? Somebody saw it coming. So if that's true, if we should have seen it coming and either we didn't listen or nobody warned us, then here's the question that we need to ask. And this is a big, big question. This sets us up for where we're going to go today. Why is it that we can't see it coming, but somebody else can? Let me turn it around. Why can I see trouble coming in your life, but you can't? And why is it that you can see trouble coming my way, but I can't? Why is it I know exactly what you should do, but you don't? And why is it if I told you my story, you would know exactly what I should do, but I don't? And what can we do about that? Because I'm like you, I don't want to get to another season of my life and look back on this season and go, how could I have been so foolish? Why didn't I see it coming? I don't want to look back on my life like you don't. I don't want to look back at a busted relationship or a bad financial decision or a bad professional decision or a bad parenting decision where you overreacted or you underreacted, you overparented, you underparented. You know, you just decided, you know, we're going to move in, we're going to make this work. And you look back and you think, why? I should have seen that coming. I don't want to look back on any more of those. You don't want to look back on any more of those. But the truth is, there's just some things you just can't see them coming. You really can't. But somebody can. But why is that? Here's why, or here's part of the reason why. Emotionally charged environments are not ideal for decision making. And just about every decision-making environment is emotionally charged, especially the big ones. Isn't that true? Emotionally charged environments are not great for decision-making, and yet every big decision involves emotions. So what happens is our emotions make what's obvious less obvious. So when it's you, the emotions just kind of fog the entire decision-making process. Because it's me, I'm not messed up by your emotions. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. You are in the middle of the storm. I can see above the clouds. No obstacles in my way. You are just surrounded by obstacles. And you're going, oh my gosh, what should I do? What should I do? And all your friends are like, really? You can't see? And you're like, no, I can't see. And it's why. Here's why. Because emotions make decisions difficult, and every major decision is fraught with the peril of emotion. This is why I would do a way better job managing your money than you ever will. I will never make an impulse buy with your money. And you'd say, hey, Andy, can I spend some of my money on that? And I'd say, no, that's a bad decision. But please, nope. But I want it. I'd make way better decisions about your money than you would. And the same holds true for you. And here's why. Why? Because the financial decisions are not emotionally neutral decisions. Same with marriage. You know what? I mean, I don't do marriage counseling because I'm terrible, because I'm not patient enough to listen. I just think there's three problems. And once I know what yours is, I go, shh, let me talk, okay? So I don't do marriage counseling. I give advice. Nobody takes it anyway. So I just give it all at once to all of you, then go home. So hopefully take some of this. But why is it? But you don't have to be brilliant, okay? Any of you, even single or married, you could sit in a counselor's office and you can listen to a couple explain their problems, and you would sit there and think, well, it's obvious. Stop doing that. I mean, it's, you know, whenever he, okay, sir, don't do that anymore. And whenever she, don't. It's simple, isn't it? Why is it that I can fix your marriage in about two paragraphs, but my marriage issues go on for year after year after year? Why can't I see it coming? Why can you see it coming? Same true with our kids, right? I mean, don't you know exactly what your neighbors need to do with their kids? Isn't it obvious? If that was my son, I'd do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If that was my daughter, I would never let. If you don't even have kids, you're single, you don't have kids yet, and you look at the way parents do with their kids, you're like, I would never. You know all about raising kids. You do. I mean, you, it's just so clear to you. But then you have your own, and you live in a fog for about 18 years. I mean, you do. Sandra and I look at each other, it's like, but why is it so hard? Because parenting is emotional. Marriage is emotional. Money is emotional. And it's why we look back and we have extraordinary clarity. We go, why didn't I see it? Because you were in the middle of it. And the emotion fogs our judgment, because there's lust and there's anger and there's greed and there's jealousy and there's, you know, there's bitterness and I'm envious and I'm, you know, there's just all of these emotions, and we're trying to make a decision. So where's the question? What is a wise person? Because we're trying to be wise, right? What's the wise thing to do when emotions are high and appetites are inflamed? What is the wise thing to do when emotions are high and our appetites are inflamed? What's the wise thing to do if we really want to look back and say, I made the wise decision? A lot of my past experience, my current circumstances, my future hopes and dreams, I really want to make wise decisions. I want to live with fewer regrets, fewer tears. I don't want to waste any more money, but I don't know what to do because this is an emotional situation. What does a wise person do?
in an emotionally charged environment where our appetites are awakened and suddenly we've got our eyes or our heart or something on somebody or on something and suddenly there's a decision to make. The answer is one word, and it's the word listen. 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 Because you don't see it coming, but I guarantee you, somebody sees it coming. And the wise person listens. In fact, wise people recognize when they are in no condition to decide for themselves, by themselves. Wise people are the ones that hit the pause button and go, uh-oh, this is emotional. I'm probably going to make the wrong decision. Uh-oh, I'm mad. I need some advice. Uh-oh, I am so lonely and I am so prone to, fill in the blank. I probably need to listen. Wise people know when they are in no condition to decide for themselves, by themselves. Now, I could just stop the message here, and we could all think of a time in our life, and we knew this was exactly right, and we think back and go, that's exactly it. I remember a when, and whoo, do I remember that when? And I didn't hit the pause button. I just kind of went with the flow. I kind of went with my emotions. I followed my heart, which is a terrible idea, but that's what we do. And consequently, you ended up in a place, you look back and you say, I should have seen it coming. Somebody saw it coming. And the key to responding to situations where you think you might not see what's coming is to listen to somebody who does. Now, if you're not a Bible person, this is a great Sunday because we're in the Old Testament. So if the whole Jesus thing kind of bothers you, we're not going to get to Jesus. We're in the Old Testament. He's later. So take this seriously. We're talking about a king. Everybody wants to be a king, right? And not only that, here's the cool thing. The wisest man who ever lived, other than Jesus, I guess, I would assume, the wisest man who ever lived was a king named Solomon. He was the third king of Israel, David's son. He lived during the golden age of Israel, where Israel had as much power as they would ever had. Their armies were as powerful as they would ever be. Their reach in terms of land acquisition was as broad as it would ever be. And God, as we're going to see in a minute, God gave Solomon the gift of wisdom. He didn't learn it the hard way like the rest of us. He didn't learn it by experience. God said, you know what? I'm going to give some people the ability to just hear a song and play it on the piano. I'm going to give some people the ability to just look at a math problem and just see the answer. And Solomon, I'm giving you the gift of wisdom. He was so wise. He was so wise that his reputation wasn't simply rich, even though he was rich. His reputation wasn't simply powerful, although he was powerful. His reputation was wise. In fact, here's what the scripture tells us in the book of 1 Kings. It's an interesting story. It says, God gave Solomon wisdom. I mean, that's just not even fair, is it? It's like you just gave it to him. Yep, as a kid, as a teenager. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. And his fame, check this out, and his fame spread all to all the surrounding nations, that Solomon, the king of Israel, was known for his wisdom. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. So when kings in other nations were making a big decision, they'd say, I know who we need to talk to. We need to talk to Solomon. So they'd call in one of their guys, load him up with a bunch of gold and silver and say, go to Israel, go to Jerusalem and get in line and hand him my question, because that's the guy who's going to give us the answer that we've been looking for. He was that wise. People lined up. In some cases, they would stay for days or even months to wait to have just a short audience with King Solomon, because he could hear a situation and his judgment was impeccable. His understanding of the sciences, of math, of all the arts, it was incredible. He just had extraordinary, extraordinary wisdom. Now, here's the good news. You don't have to get in line, because he wrote a bunch of this stuff down. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, which if you're over 40, you love. If you're under 40, you think, why is this even in here, okay? He wrote the Song of Solomon, which is all about sex, okay? You had to be of a certain age for Jewish boys to even read Song of Solomon. He also wrote the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, Solomon draws from his vast wisdom that God gave him, and he gives us these bunch of one-liners, just one-liners, things you put on a calendar, something you put at the bottom of your letterhead, for your office stationery. All these one-liners. matters. And here's the interesting thing. The wisest man in the world, the wisest man in the world said more about seeking counsel than any other ancient writer. The wisest man in the world said more about seeking counsel than any other biblical writer. The man who needed counsel the least, Solomon, spoke and wrote about it the most. Because the wisest man in the world knew this. There are going to be situations and you aren't going to see it coming, but somebody will. And if you are wise enough to invite them into the decision-making process, you will gain the clarity you need to make the decision that ultimately you'll be glad that you made. Here are some of the just snapshots from the book of Proverbs. Here's what he says. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. In other words, speak to, counsel, advise the wise, and they will be wiser still. Check this out. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire, or this word can mean seek out, or in our case, pay for, get a consultant, bring in a counselor, go see a counselor, and a wise man will acquire wise counsel. Plans fail. You may have heard this one before. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, this is amazing that Solomon wrote something like this. This would be like the smartest person you know who has like an IQ that's just off the chart talking about the importance of education. You'd be like, you didn't even go to school. You're just born smart. Why is education important? Here's my counsel. Get many advisors. Don't go it alone. Don't think that you are so wise and so smart that you can see all the eventualities. Invite people in to give you advice. A couple more. He says this, listen to advice and accept discipline, that is correction, like I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't call her. I wouldn't go over there. I wouldn't take that job. Wait a minute, but I'm all, you know, I'm packed. I know, but I'm just telling you, I wouldn't do it. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, future hopes and dreams, future hopes and dreams, future hopes and dreams. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Now, this is a fascinating verse too. It doesn't say, hey, wise people. It says, would you like to be wise? Yeah. Well, then listen to counsel and you will be considered wise. You'll know different. You'll know, I'm such an idiot. But you'll make great decisions. And if you make great decisions with great outcomes, people will think that you're wise. Now, listen to this one. Where there is strife, this is a relational proverb. Where there is strife, there is pride. Where there is strife, there is pride. Parent to teacher, you know, parent to kid, kid to kid, husband to wife, boyfriend to girlfriend, boss to employee. Where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Now, here's the strange thing. If you were going to start reading the Bible and you read the book of Proverbs, you might also want to find the book of 1 Kings, because the book of 1 Kings is where you find the story of Solomon. And the story of Solomon starts off really well. He says, God, I'm a kid and I got to rule this nation. And God says, I'll give you anything you want. And Solomon says, I'll tell you what I'll take. PlayStation, no. Wisdom and understanding. God says, you got it. So it starts off really good. He asks for wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. And then at the end, Solomon ignores his own advice. And Solomon starts going it on his own. Toward the end of his life, he decided, since I'm the wisest person in the world, I don't need to listen to anybody. And he made terrible decisions. In fact, the summary of his life is one of the wisest men who ever lived made some of the dumbest decisions ever made. One of the wisest men who ever lived made some of the dumbest decisions ever made. He wrecked the economy of Israel, even though it's as strong as it had ever been. He undermined the military authority of Israel, even though it was as strong as it had ever been. And he set the next generation of his family up for failure because of decisions that he made and treaties that he decided between Israel and the surrounding nations. The prophets warned him. The law of God warned him. People around him would have warned him if he had listened, but he decided, I'm the smartest person in the room. People line up to hear me. Why would I listen to anybody on the outside? And this is what he did. He did what many of us are prone to do. He undermined his own success. And in his case, maybe in your case, he undermined his own legacy. So here's what I know about you, okay? Here's what I know about you. I have not said anything so far that you haven't heard before. Nobody's going, ask for advice. That's brilliant. Oh my gosh, this guy's good. Ask for advice. Right? I mean, if you're a teenager, you're a college student, it's like, I know, my parents have been telling me that my whole life, you know. Some of you are consultants. You're like, I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this, okay? Some of you hire consultants because you know this. This is not rocket science. This is not new. This isn't unique. But the question is, why don't we do this? Why didn't I listen? And why didn't anybody feel like they had the permission to talk to me? Why do we do this? And how do we keep this from happening again? And we all know that decision-making environments are full of emotion, and emotion fogs our ability to reason. We know all this. I think there's several reasons. One is this, okay? One is we already know what the wise people are going to say, and we just don't want to hear it. Right? I mean, didn't we spend about 12 to 20 with this mindset right here? In other words, Andy, I'll tell you why I don't ask for advice. I already know the answer. I already know what they're going to say. Now, let me be a little bit harsh, okay, and direct with you for just a second. Solomon, the wisest man in the world who told us all of this, Solomon, the wisest man who didn't take his own advice and undermine his own authority, Solomon says that if you know what to do and you just don't do it, he has a term for that. He says, I'll let you say it. He says, you're a fool. That's right. That's what a fool is. A fool is a person who knows the difference between right and wrong and just chooses to do what's wrong. And one of the other reasons we don't do this is we think it's nobody's business. Okay, it's my money. It's my marriage. These are my kids. This is my job. This is my career. This is my company. It's nobody else's business. So I'm not going to ask for advice. I'm not going to listen to advice. And don't knock on my door. And I don't even read your stupid emails, okay? So leave me alone. It's none of your... Pray for me. How about that? Just pray for me. But don't talk to me, okay? Because this is my decision. How many times have you said this? This is my decision. I have to decide this for myself. The problem with that is, and you know this, is that private decisions have public consequences. Okay, look. What's made in private doesn't stay in private. Private decisions don't stay private. Okay, public, you know, personal decisions impact more than just your person, especially if you're married, especially if you're a parent, especially if you're a boss. Think about this for just a minute before we move on. Every public scandal started with a private decision. All of them. Every embarrassing thing known about everybody anybody knows about that they did something embarrassing. Every single one of those embarrassing things, every one of those revelations began with a personal, private decision. All of them. Private decisions have public consequences. Personal decisions don't stay personal, and they involve and impact more people than you. Now, that's not new information either, is it? And yet there's still this thing in us that's like, you know, I can figure this out and I can get through this and I'm smart enough and leave me alone. So what is that? In the New Testament and the Old Testament tell us, common sense tells us, it's this word, it's pride. It's pride that I don't need to be told what to do. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. And I don't need to be told what to do. I'm a grown-up. I'm 17 years old. And I'm not knocking 17-year-olds, but when we were 17, we didn't need anybody to tell us what to do, right? Then we look back and we laugh, right? Then we look back on 21 and laugh. Then we look back on 31. And regardless of how old you are, you're going to look back on this stage of life and go, oh, what was I thinking? Remember what Solomon said? He says, where there is strife, there is what? There's pride. But wisdom is found for those and in those and with those who take advice. So let's talk about this for just a second. Two statements and we'll wrap this up. Success is intoxicating and failure is humiliating. Success is intoxicating. Failure is humiliating. This goes to the root of how our pride and why our pride keeps us from acknowledging and accepting and embracing outside counsel. If you're super successful, the way the world works is after a while, everybody will think you are smart about everything. Isn't that true? When you walk in the room, especially if you're a man, okay, you're like the prettiest girl in the room. Everybody knows you're there and they think you're way more handsome than you actually are because money makes you better looking. It just does. You know how this works. You're the most powerful, successful person in the room. And have you ever stood with a little group, a little posse, you know, around a super wealthy or well-known person? Have you noticed that everything they say is true? And everything that's kind of funny is real funny. And every piece of advice, everybody's like this. Because success, and I'm not knocking super rich people, success is intoxicating. And what happens is people come around super successful people and they just intoxicate them even more. It's very difficult to survive success. Because after a while, you begin to think you know a lot about everything. And so why in the world would you seek advice about anything? You had parents. You don't need to read a book about parenting. I was a kid once. I don't need to read a book about raising kids. I had surgery once. See, it doesn't work, does it? And the flip side is true as well. Failure is humiliating. You know what? You know, maybe the worst thing for a man to feel, and I guess for a woman too, but I can only speak from my perspective. The worst thing for a man to feel is inadequate. And let me tell you what men do. And ladies, you should understand this because this may explain something you've noticed with your sons or your grandsons or your husband or your boyfriend. If there's an area in our life where we feel inadequate, we're not doing so well, and then you come along, here's what you think. You think, oh, you're not doing so well. So I've got a book about the thing you're not doing so well in. So if you would read this book, you would do better. You would do weller at what you're not doing so well. Anything that reminds me of my inadequacy is something I am naturally going to resist. Even the solution to my inadequacy. Isn't that weird? Here, man, this is what we do. You're in sales and you're good. You're a pretty good salesperson. You're an extraordinary salesperson. So you go to sales conferences. You're already good at that. You're a manager. You love reading stuff about managing. You're a leader. Or maybe you're an entrepreneur or you founded a company and you love to read more and more and more and more and more about stuff that you're good at. In fact, somebody comes along with a leadership book. You don't go, I don't need that. I'm a leader. You go, oh, I can't get enough of that. Then somebody comes along and tries to feed information into an area where you feel inadequate. And we resist that. Do you know what that is? It's that. And that will undermine all of your success. It's what happened to Solomon. See, wise people know what they don't know, and they're not afraid to engage the people who know. Wise people know what they don't know, and they're not intimidated, and they're not afraid, and they're not too prideful to go to the people who know. Wise people know when. Wise people know when the emotion and the appetites are so enraged and so inflamed that they better hit the pause button and invite someone in to the conversation with them. So, in light of your past experience, your current circumstances, and your future hopes and dreams, listen, listen, listen. And God will use the voices of other people to guide you and to guard you and to ensure that you never have to look back on another season, another episode, another relationship, another expenditure in your life and wonder, why didn't I see that coming?
Thanks so much for listening to Your Move. Don't forget what we're celebrating this month. Your Move now airs on NBC after SNL in Las Vegas. This would not have been possible without the generosity of our podcast listeners. Thanks to you, better decisions are coming to the city that never sleeps.